introduce Eli Weber, exactly 9 o'clock, tshuva from last week, on mitzvah number 19, Birkat HaMazon. I'm right. I've been reading ahead on Tuesday morning.
Okay. This is a biggie. Birkat HaMazon is big in many, many ways. First of all, what's unique about it?
I think it's the only blessing that's derived.
Arguably, it's the only one. There are some who think that Birkat HaTorah is also, but the only one that's definitively, unanimously min HaTorah, the only bracha that is a mitzvah de'oraisa l'chal adeos, is benching. So, you know, it bears thinking about what's so unique about thanking God for food more than thanking God for our lives. That's something, it bears some thinking about why it should be that benching is so important. Now, it also allows for Rishonim and Achronim and everybody else, if it's the only mitzvah, if it's the only bracha min HaTorah, it also allows, it serves as a model for other blessings. Presumably, the general rule is that Durabbanans are modeled on Doraisas, that they see what the Torah did, and they generally expand them. Occasionally, let's admit it, occasionally there are introductions or things that the Rabbanan made up on their own, and they admit it. But for the most part, the assumption is when the Rabbanan introduced something, it's modeled on a Doraisa. For example, min HaTorah, it's usur to eat meat and milk. Chachamim saw that chicken could be mistaken, you know, one way or the other, so they prohibited eating chicken with milk as well. They didn't pretend that chicken and milk is an issur d'oraisa. They said meat and milk is an issur d'oraisa, but because chicken can be confused with meat, therefore we're going to prohibit chicken as well.
There's some that eat fish.
Correct. Well, we separate fish, but the bottom line is, all I'm trying to do is come up with an example of, you know, where chachamim model stuff on d'oraisa.
I never heard that until I came to Israel.
What?
About they eat fish daily.
Oh, that you don't eat fish in, yeah, because we generally do. It's fish and meat that
fish
we
eat. Fish and dairy, but don't eat the fish.
Don't know.
I don't know where fish is coming from.
I know where that comes from either.
Problem, they don't.
I don't know.
I've heard of eating fish and meat together.
Yeah.
Fish and meat is something else.
I think we shouldn't eat.
Okay. So now, let's start and look at something very, very interesting. Everybody knows there's a pasuk. If it's a mitzvah, if benching is a mitzvah d'oraisa, there's obviously a pasuk that serves as the source for the mitzvah d'oraisa. We all know what it is. What's the pasuk? Excellent. What I wanted to do is look at it in context, because I think that there's something interesting to see here. It is in Parshas Va'eschanan, in Sefer Dvarim. Look in source number one, and the pasukim say as follows. God has brought you to a good land. Eretz nachalei mayim, ayanot utahomot. It has flowing waters and rivers and lakes. Yotzim babikov ahar. The water is flowing all over the place. Amen. Eretz chita usorah v'gefen uteina v'rimon. Eretz zeit shemen udvash. Right. Those are the shivat haminim. The Shivat Haminim that the land of Israel was praised through. Not only that, Eretz Asher Lo B'Miskenu Tochal Balechem Lo Techsar Kolbo. It's a land where you'll have everything. Eretz Asher Avanel Barzel Me'aret Achsov Nechoshes. Although its land is rocky. And then V'Ochal Tov V'Savato U'Veirachto As Hashem Elokecha Al Haaretz HaTova Asher Nosan Lach. What does the pasuk say?
Thank God.
You'll be satiated, and then as a result, you will thank God. Al ha'aretz ha'tova. There's two ways to read this. One is you will thank God for this great land that He gave us, or you'll thank God literally on this great land that He gave us.
It sounds like it's linked to the land.
Doesn't sound that way. It clearly is.
Right.
Absolutely. That's the point I'm trying to make. One second. And then the next pasuk. He shomer lecha pen tishkach et Hashem Elokecha levilti shmor mitzvotav u mishpatav u chukotav Hashem Elokim mitzavcha hayom. please do not forget God. Remember his Torah. So, it's true that benching is one mitzvah, but it's also true that it's something bigger going on. Go ahead.
Well, you'll cover this more, obviously, because you raised that question, but also it starts with when Hashem brings you to the land, and it almost could make sense to say, therefore, then you'll bless Hashem on the land, which means when you're in the land.
Right.
Not out of the land, perhaps? You have the bench?
So,
Florence?
I just noticed, for some reason, I forgot, even though this is a Shir and Rambam, I forgot to put the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos on the sheet. The Rambam, at the end of his Sefer HaMitzvos, we'll survive, I'm a professional, we'll survive with that. The Rambam, at the end of his Sefer HaMitzvos, says, and it's not a mitzvah hatzluya ba'aretz. Now, no one of us ever thought, or ever even considered the possibility that benching is only done in Eretz Yisrael. And let's face it, that's not the halacha. But when you read the psukim,
it certainly sounds like it.
You really get the sense
maybe
that there's something going on, that there's something else going on here, and that in the perfect world, you know, and again, it's not the halacha, I want to be clear, but philosophically, you could have argued that the maximal mitzvah of benching is only in Eretz Yisrael, although, you know, it exists elsewhere as well. I just want to raise that possibility because I want people to see benching not just as this narrow thing, you know, one of these mitzvahs, isn't it? Tilas Yadayim, and this is that, and then there's also benching, but benching as an archetype for a couple of things. One is, you know, if we assume, and it's true, and we'll see this inside in a few minutes, that benching serves as the model for every single bracha we have. Every single bracha. Hmm. So where does it come from?
What do you mean model? I don't understand.
When you make a shehakol niyeh bidvaro,
yeah,
that's a drabanan, modeled off benching. Chazal said, oh, if you have to bench, then it makes sense to introduce blessings. Why should we only thank God for bread or for the zayin minim? We should thank God for everything. And then, why should we only thank God afterwards? Perhaps we should thank God even before.
We're the Christians, then.
That's the way we do.
No, the Christians say grace before meals.
Okay, we say blessings
We say them after the meal.
Well, we say blessings before
meals.
Well,
we bless the bread and all of that, but the benching comes later.
You have to be satiated.
Okay, so all I want to point out is the obvious. Is that I think it's as simple as you look in Pasuk Yud, I think it's as simple as V'achalta v'savata uberachta Hashem Elokecha. This idea that any pleasure I get requires me to thank God. I just assume that that's the model for almost all brachas, for bari nefashos, for ala mechia, for everything. If I'm going to get pleasure in this world, the pleasure flows from God, therefore I have to thank God. Correct.
Is that
drabanan? It's a drabanan.
In other words, you make everything else, you make a bracha.
Correct.
That's a source to make the bracha.
That's a svara, but that svara is also related to benching. You're right. What Mr. Weiser is saying is the Gemara says that it's a drasha from a pasuk. Let me think for a second. I can't think of it off the hand, but the Gemara says that it's also to be nana from anything in this world without first asking God for permission or thanking Him. Okay? That's related to the fact that once we establish this idea that God cares and that we have an obligation to thank God, so the Gemara, you know, the Gemara tries to play Kal v'chomers in two directions. One is to say, well, if you have to thank God when you're satiated, how much more so do you have to thank Him when you're still hungry? Right? That's the theory. Mm. That, you know, if you want to eat, you have to, if you're going to, you know, after you're full, you're going to thank God. You should certainly thank Him or ask for Him before. Okay. Let's spend just a couple of minutes talking about the nature of benching. How many brachos are in benching? Four. Are they all the same?
No.
Go ahead.
The first one's on food, the second one's on food and the land, the third one is for Yerushalayim, and the fourth one was added by the rabbis later for
right. So you're saying they have different themes, which obviously you're correct. I just meant to say, we think that Min HaTorah benching is three brachos, and the fourth one, Hakel Avinu Malkinu Adirenu Barenu, that was added later. Okay, that's how we paskin, which also yields a very interesting halacha that people don't focus on. Anybody have any idea? What's really unique about the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim?
You say Amen at the end.
You say Amen. Why do you say Amen? We never say Amen to our own bracha, so it's considered to be disrespectful to say Amen. Why do we say Amen?
That's what separates the derisa from the
Mubarak. Correct. There is a not very well-known halacha that says that you're supposed to say Amen after a series of brachot. So benching, if we hold as we do that benching the three brachot are a series of doraisas, we say Amen to separate between the series of doraisas and the drabanan. It's interesting that, like many things in halacha, we kind of walk a fine line, which is you're not supposed to say Amen very loudly because it's disrespectful to the bracha that's to come to say it's not really part of benching. But we do it here. Now, what if you only say two of the brachos? What if you only say Azanat HaKol? You're someplace, you don't know it by heart, you're in a rush, whatever. Is it all or nothing? Do we say that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to say three brachot? And if you don't say all three, you're not yotze? What do you think?
No, I think you're covered with Azanat HaKol. Even less, you can both say that.
Because? Right. One second, because?
Because it's all-encompassing. It's the whole bag.
Okay, so the Gemara seems to be tortured over this. We've seen before, with respect to davening, the Shitas HaRambam, which is davening, the idea of davening every day is a mitzvah min HaTorah. What you say, how often you say, how you say it, that's all drabanan. Okay? So the question is, could you apply the same thing to benching? That really, midrabanan, Chazal came along and they established this long text, and that's what you're supposed to say. But you could still get the core mitzvah d'oraisa if you say, you know, rub-a-dub-dub.
Thanks for the grub.
Yay, God. Okay? That's the question. Yeah?
First of all, when you say this long text, do you mean the normal text that we find in the Siddur?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, because I was under the impression I've seen a number of people now go back to the Gemara and figure out, well, these are the pieces that have to be said, and they have what I would call a shorter, I don't want to say abbreviated version, that's much shorter but covers all what they feel is the derisive points based on the Gemara for benching, and it's shorter than the longer version.
Why would you do this?
They added Rambam and they added this.
But why would you do this?
You're in a hurry.
Because it actually detracts from people wanting to wash and have a piece of bread when they feel like they have to say a blessing, series of blessings that's longer than the meal itself.
Okay, so I want to come back to that because I'm borderline offended by that. Not you, but by the idea that we couldn't spend, you know, like, was it 3 minutes?
I have thought of that.
But just one second. Remind me to come back to that, because it's an interesting point. Let's look at two Gemaras.
Yeah. I want to know, what is the basis for the principle that the first three brachas are good derisa?
Let's look at the Gemara. Okay?
I don't necessarily recognize that to be what I remember hearing or learning.
Oh, so I'm quite sure that it's true. I'm sorry if it's not consistent with.
We thought it was the first brother. Thank God for the food.
So now, look at number two. The Gemara says, Rebbe Omer, the achalta v'savata uveirachta, he's darshaning a pasuk. Zo birchat hazan. Rebbe says, that's the first bracha. Hab hazan atakol. Aval birchat hazimun. Migalul Hashem iti nafka. Okay, don't worry about that. He says that the bracha of Zimun, you don't learn from this pasuk at all. Now, what the bracha of Zimun is something we don't want to talk about right now. Then, v'achalt v'savalt v'rachta, al ha'aretz, he says, zo birchat ha'aretz, that's al ha'aretz v'al ha'mazon, that's number two. Hatova, al ha'aretz hatova, zo bonei Yerushalayim. V'chein hu omer, ha'har ha'tov ha'zeva ha'levanon, ha'tov v'ha'metiv b'yavna tiknuha. So, whatever you want to say, this is the shita in the Gemara. There are other shitas in the Gemara, but this is the shita in the Gemara that we paskin like. Rebbe says, from the pasuk itself, you learn out the requirements to say three brachot, the first three, and number four was biyavna tiknua. They made it later up. Hatov ametiv, hatov shenitnu likfura, v'hametiv shelo isrichu, which one day we should talk about because it's a fascinating also that after the tragedy of Beitar, you know, when they're going around burying hundreds of thousands of bodies, they somehow found within that something joyous enough to add a bracha to benching. That, I'll admit, that's bizarre. But it doesn't change the fact that the Gemara Rebbe Shita is 1, 2, 3 are learned from the Pasuk. That makes them Doraisa. The fourth is learned, you know, it was instituted later on. Now, to be fair, it's always possible, even when the Gemara quotes Pesukim, it's always possible to say it's just an asmachta. An asmachta meaning that we quote a pasuk as a mnemonic device, as something to remind us of something, but it's not really to be taken as a serious doraisa. Halachically, we do take it as a doraisa. We do think that the first three brachot are min haTorah, and the fourth one is drabana. Now, if we believe this is interesting. If we believe that the first three brachot are min haTorah, what does that mean to us?
Better do it.
Either you do all three or you haven't fulfilled.
No. Yes. But ask yourself the following question. Does that mean, if we say that the first three brachot are doraisa, does that mean that God told Moshe, here's the text?
No, not necessarily.
So what does it mean that the first three brachot are doraisa?
It's like everything else. When there's a remise to something in the Torah, let's say Shabbat, and then we come up with the 39, we know that those are derived to lists, although that's not stated in the Torah.
Right. So although we do think that Moshe got 39 from God, yeah. But that's halacha Moshe Misina. You're saying this wasn't. So what did God tell Moshe? I just want to ask him.
More closely related to the pshat of the verse that, you know, bless the food, bless the land.
Okay, so he gave him three themes?
Maybe gave him three themes.
Three themes, but he didn't give him the text.
Right.
Okay,
so,
huh?
I'm still challenged by this Bidna Raisa, this halachic Rebbe, on the context that, first of all, when the commandment was given, they were not in Eretz Israel, they were in the Midbar.
Right.
So they don't even have a clue of what it means to how the land is and make a blessing on the land. They
like just land. Like Truma Sumaisris and Chala and Shemitah and Yovel.
Let me suggest this point. They had no clue about Yerushalayim either. So
good.
The idea that somehow or other that they're going to be blessing the land that they've never seen, and secondly, bless a city that they've never even heard about. Come on. This is Bidna Raisa.
Yeah, absolutely. Like almost like all these other mitzvahs, there are tons of mitzvahs at Tlios Ba'aretz that they got in the Midbar.
My understanding was the first bracha Moshe Rabbeinu created or drafted, wrote. Second one, Yeshua, when he came into the land. And third was Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the base of Mikdash.
I try to be honest when I give a shiur, and I want to just say this is not a plant. Okay? Look at number three. You just got to give me a chance.
You're the straight man.
Amar of Nachman. Moshe tikein li Yisrael birkat hazan b'sha'ah she'arad lahem man. Just what you just said. Moshe Rabbeinu made up the first bracha of benching. When? Historically? When he saw the man. Which answers your question, meaning he had something to thank God for. Of course, it wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, but let's face it, if your bread fell down from heaven, you would strongly consider thanking God for that miracle.
Actually,
Yehoshua Tikein lahem birkat haaretz kevan shenichnasu laaretz, exactly as you said. Yehoshua made up bracha number two when they entered the land. David u'Shlomo tiknu bonei Yerushalayim. Not surprisingly, David HaMelech founded Yerushalayim. They had the city then. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. They made that up. And finally, David tikein al Yisrael amcha al Yerushalayim amcha. This is how it broke up. David made up the part that said, "We thank God, Al Yisrael Amecha, Al Yisrael Amecha," and Shlomo added, "Al Abayit Hagadol VaHakadosh," because he built the Beis Hamikdash. And finally, "Hatov VaHametiv BiYavne Tiknuha Kineged Haruge Beitar." That we've discussed already. So, here's what I think the answer is. I don't even think it's a question. I think both things are true, and I don't know why you bother by them. and I forgot who suggested this. When we say that the first three brachot are midoraisa, it means that God gave the general themes. We knew in advance there was supposed to be a bracha called you know, on Eretz Yisrael. There was supposed to be a bracha on Al Brit Chashe Chasamta Bivtarenu Ve'Al Tov Chashli Madatanu, and there was supposed to be a bracha on the chosen city, which I guess we knew there would be such a thing. Those were the three themes. The text could only be made up later on, and the text was made up later. So, you know, what did they say before David and Shlomo? I don't know. But I think we're supposed to understand they said something. That Jews in the Midbar knew that there were three themes, just like Jews in the Midbar davened somehow. They never knew what Shmona Esrei was. Right? What they did later on morphed into Shmona Esrei. So what they did in the Midbar had three themes that God gave to Moshe. Those three themes were Midoraisa. They were expanded upon later on. Here you have, not by Chazal, but this is one of the few places we have, you know, the actual authors, whether it's historically true or not. I think we do think that Ezra played with these a little bit. But I don't think it's inconsistent to say, just like we do with davening, that davening every day is a Doraisa. Well, you know, how you say it, exactly what the text is, that's Drabanan. Benching every day, benching is a Doraisa. Again, but more than that, benching's first three brachos are Doraisa, not the text perhaps, but the theme. We're required to mention three themes to God, and then those themes were expanded on, and the text was originated later on by people who lived through them. Yes?
I would think that right now it's before the time of the Mashiach, that we pray for the Mashiach, right? But when the Mashiach actually comes, it will probably change the bracha, like Delphi, because it's another stage is met, you know what I mean?
Okay, I mean, we have that with this idea about, right, about Yitziat Mitzrayim being overwhelmed later on in our davening by the ultimate geula when that happens. So you and I don't have the power to change the text of brachos. I don't think anybody has the power to change the text of benching, even if they're in a rush, but okay, we'll come back to that. But
to your first earlier question, if you only said the first paragraph, are you yotzi v'raisa of benching?
So that will really depend on how seriously we take the three. And let's put it this way, what I want to get to in the end is, you're allowed to bench in English, mitzad hadin. Everybody agrees that it's better to bench in Hebrew, but the halacha is very, very clear. And, you know, well, we have to get to some place where benching stops being a burden and starts being something we enjoy and something it's an opportunity that we have. We have to somehow get there. We have to figure out how to get there, because it's true, almost all of us, like, the idea of somebody saying, yeah, I want to, but then I'll have to bench.
Guilty.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity to give some powerful prayer.
Right. Everybody does it. When I say everybody, I starting with me, it's something we have to correct. We have to find a way to correct that. The opportunity, I want to talk about this later, but I'll point out, I know this person in yeshiva. I think he's saintly. He makes sure, no matter what, not like us, he makes sure to wash at least once a day, every single day. Because he can't imagine the opportunity to do this mitzvah d'oraisa, which is just like lulav and just like matzah. Now, the difference is that I can't find a source that says you have to bench every day. Right? The halacha is, it's contingent. Right? If you ate and you're satiated and you ate the right foods, then you have to bench. So there's no question you can get out of benching for weeks at a time. Okay, Shabbos it's hard, and Yontif it's hard.
Eat crackers.
Huh? But the question is, are we going about it the right way? Is there some way to change our mindset from, I'll do anything to avoid benching, to, no, I didn't bench yet today. Benching is a mitzvah d'oraisa. You know, if I really sat down and looked at it, and, you know, we could argue about it, but to bench with kavana, I don't know, 3 minutes? Could it take more?
Yeah, and if you do it with real kavana slowly, it can take you 5 to 7.
Okay, but
that's even better.
Don't quote me on this, but what I would say is, better to sacrifice all of Pesukei Dezimra, which nobody thinks is a d'oraisa, for the opportunity to really bench and say, say the only brachos. Nobody thinks that Refa'enu is the mitzvah d'oraisa and Shema Koleinu and the things that we focus on. And now, God forbid, I'm not knocking it. I love, you know, I really enjoy davening.
What about the Tachlin?
For sure not. Uh-huh. I mean, benching beats all. Benching beats all.
To me, that's like a central part of the prayer.
I'm not saying
it's the most personal part of the prayer.
I'm not saying it's not essential. You better enjoy it now because we're going to
run over it in 5 minutes and it's over.
Not just that. I grew up in a shtiebel. You know, like amongst Hasidim, getting out of saying Tachlun is like a game.
Yeah, everybody wants to.
You know,
to
it's the Kosher Lover's yard site today. You know, we can't. I remember there's a Sefer that lists
all the yard sites.
And it says in the introduction of the Sefer that please do not purchase the Sefer or use it as an excuse to get out of saying Tachlon. As it happens, nobody ever bought that Sefer for a purpose other than getting out of Tachlon. And I remember, like, in the Shnibel, you know, if davening was running late and people had to make the train, like, somebody would just open it up and say, you know, it's the pizza for us was yard site today. Ashrei. And, you know, like... So, but again, that's just, be that as it may, you know, but benching.
As a young boy, I don't remember, very seldom sit down.
Yeah.
Almost every
you grew up with Hasidim. It was always someone's yard side. Right.
Very seldom.
This isn't a sheer about
time. You should fast also then.
Huh?
Because you should fast. You never say
yeah,
no.
If that's what if it cost you eat, if it cost you breakfast, we would say Tachlon. Okay, but we have to adjust. We have to somehow adjust. Now, let's leave this for a second. There's tons of halachas that we're not talking about right now. Let's just knock some of the basic ones off. What is the requirement min haTorah? How much do you have to eat min haTorah in order to be chayav in benching?
Kizayit?
No. The achalt of isavata. What does that mean?
Kizayit?
No. It means that you're full. For some people, satiated. So for some people, it could mean less than, you know, for little people or people who snack before the meal, it could mean less than. For other people, it could be more than. Generally speaking, as with everything else, we bench on a kizayis. That's a chumra midrabanan. Right? Like everything else in halacha, the real halacha is that the standard for benching differs for each of us. It depends on how hungry we are, it depends on our diet, right? Halacha abhors a vacuum. That's the honest truth. They don't like it where everything is subjective. So, and we understand why, because when too many things are subjective, it falls apart. So Chazal come along and say, it's a kizayis. But, you know, the answer is you're much better off eating to be full and being chayav midoraisa than just eating a kizayis and being chayav midrabanan. Very complicated, you know, whether you have to be full over the eating of bread, or you could have, you know, 2 bites of bread and then eat your steak and your potatoes, and that's really what fills you up. One, you know, the halacha of Birchas HaMazon needed to be updated. I say that in air quotes, in the sense that there was a time where a meal meant eating bread. Right? 300 years ago, you had bread and, you know, some vegetables or whatever, you know. Your meal wasn't for the every day. You didn't sit down and eat a cow. And, right, just... when I was a kid, I don't think my father did it because he was so frum. You sat down and you washed, because if you grew up in Europe, you know, you grew up in Europe, like, that's how your meal started. I don't think it was a religious thing. I think that's how you filled up. You know, if you didn't have a lot of money, bread was, you know, what sits comfortably in your stomach. And then, and I'm sure that anybody who's been, not to compare anything, you know, if you were in a yeshiva where there wasn't a lot of food, so at some point you realize you ate your bread first to fill it up, and then whatever the tiny main was, you know, you fooled your body into thinking that you filled up on whatever on the radish when it was really the bread. Right, so there's much discussion. I remember Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, whose father is the Rav, Rav Yosheber Soloveitchik. He told me that they had left a kiddush in Boston once, and he said it was one of those fantastic kiddushes after davening, where basically you don't need to eat lunch afterwards. The only difference is no one washes. Right, you go in, you have chalent and kugel and everything else, and cake and fruit and everything you could think of, and you come out, and there's no question, you're full. And he said his father said to him, you know, if I had the power, I would require people to bench for a kiddush like this. Now, the answer is...
Is it optional that you could bench because you are full?
It's dangerous. No, the halacha is otherwise. There are people who do it. There are people who do it. The accepted halacha is no. If you didn't eat bread, you don't bench.
So
no, again, but again, the point being, for a person who wants to take this seriously, there are people who will say, who will look for a roll, look for the opportunity to wash for a meal like that, because it's really a meal. It has to do, again, it has to do with your relationship with benching.
So you're
if you view it as something you want to do and you look for opportunities to do it, you have one approach to it. If you don't, you know, let's say, this is not the topic of conversation for now either, but, you know, pizza. Pizza, you can find poskim who say pizza is mizonos. You can find poskim who say pizza is, you know, you have to wash and it's bread and you have to bench. The question is, what do you do? Right? One possibility is to say, well, it's a suffix and whatever, and I'm going to go with the poskim who say it's rabban. The other is to say, you know what? I'm going to have a piece of bread, one bite of bread. Therefore, l'chol adeos I can wash, and l'chol adeos I'm chayv to bench. Then I'm going to eat my pizza. Right? It's just a question of whether we want to get out of it or whether we want to do it in the fullest sense.
So you're saying that a kazayas of bread will initiate the benching where a huge meal of other stuff won't?
Yes, it's a halachic anomaly. It shouldn't be that way, but it is.
And you're saying it's not really optional, or is it optional? Someone could say, listen, this is my lunch. And I'm going to bench because I have, you know, or is it really not a
problem? So there are a few people nowadays who argue that you ought to be able to do that, but the halacha is otherwise. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, if you want to be frum, you pack a piece of bread with you. Otherwise, you know, this bizarre thing, you sit down, you have a gigantic steak, you have rice, you have potatoes, right? It's the greatest meal ever. You paid $150 at La Marais, whatever the fancy steakhouse is. You make a bar nefashos. That's all there is, bar nefashos. Like, that doesn't, it doesn't make sense. Right, absolutely doesn't make sense.
No,
but
on the other hand, so, you know, if you eat bread, like, so just a little piece of bread, which I ate, you were always hungry. We couldn't say we called ourselves. There was no such a thing.
That's an unbelievable thing. Where I can imagine I'd like to go a year with ever being, however long you went, with ever like ever feeling like I ate a meal that I should thank God for. Because, well, I guess you don't thank God for a lot when you're in a concentration camp, but you know.
We were told there were many people.
Somebody who's gluten intolerant and they can't
eat. Again, it's a real problem. Because you need this, the bread thing, in order to be able to bench. So again, that's why the argument. Now, to be fair, there is an in-between sheet that Zayin Minim could help you to have to bench. And Zayin Minim applies, includes things that gluten-free people can eat. Mm-hmm. You need to really talk to a posek to say, look, if I'm never going to bench my whole life, like, could that be? Maybe there's a way out for people like that.
What's
okay.
The status of matzah?
Matzah is clearly bread.
Not yeah. Impossible.
It's absolutely.
It's not a cracker?
No.
The Sephardim say an F-Y-S-R-X.
Correct, correct.
They say you should accept the wash on the
Easter. Right, right.
And like this...
Right, it... Yeah.
In this country, this crack was left. It's
almost a mass. Yeah, there are problems. Many people, you know, the bread croutons that you put in, the really good crunchy kind, you know, it's an open question whether you would have to wash on something like that.
Because people wash on this, and someone said no.
We hope. The din is, crackers are something called pasaba bekisnin, the bracha is a mizonos, and you make an alamichi afterwards. The question is, when do you cross the line between a cracker and between, you know, or between matzah, which is, crackers are not, however it works, crackers are not potential bread. Meaning, however you make a cracker, however long you leave it in the oven, it's not going to rise. Matzah, the assumption is, would rise and would thicken and become chametz if you left it in there, and therefore matzah is always going to be hamotzi if it's real matzah. Again, but the line between a cracker and a matzah involves stuff I don't understand.
Would anybody say if you have a piece of toast and an egg, you know, just a snack to keep going, but you're not full, you wouldn't bench?
Where the answer is no, because midrabanan, you ate a kizayis. If you had a slice of bread, let's put it this way. If you eat
French toast,
you get up.
French toast you have to bench on, for sure.
I had French toast for dinner last night.
I'm talking about you're not filled
up. Delicious. Now, here's the thing. If you wash and have two bites, okay, and have a little bit of something, and then you have to go, and you didn't have a kizayis, and you're not full.
No, you had a kizayis, but you're not full.
No, so midrabanan, you have to bench. It's not a mitzvah. The chiyuv in benching there
is... So the kizayis puts you into the chiyuv. It may not be a chiyuv deraisa.
Correct.
But it's a chiyuv medrabanan.
Correct. What I'm saying is, okay. But it's not... Having a bite of bread is not mechayev of you in benching. So, for example, if you had a bite... Let's assume that a bite of bread is not a kizayis. Okay? If that's all you had and you're not full, not only, you know, are you not chayev to bench, it might be a bracha of atala.
Even midrabanan.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. Let's go on. Let's look at the beginning of the Rambam and Hilchos Brachos. Again, Hilchos Brachos is pretty long, and there's... Huh? Ooh, okay, fine. Thank you. Look how the Rambam starts. Not surprising, if there's only one bracha, that's d'oraisa, so that's how the Rambam starts Hilchos Brachos. He says, Mitzvah taseh min ha-Torah livarech achar achilat mazon. It's a din d'oraisa, to bench after you eat. Shenemar, v'achalta v'savahtu uverachta sashem alokecha. Ve'eino chayav min ha-Torah ela im kein savea. The chiyuv is only if you're satiated. Shereva v'achalta v'savata uverachta. But midivrei sofrim achal afilu kizayid mivarech acharav. Okay, that's the din. And there's a lovely, lovely bracha. There's a lovely gemara. It's an agadah, but it's beautiful. Where, like, the malachim ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say that you, God, Asher lo yisab panim v'lo yikach shochad. God doesn't play favorites. And yet we say in Birchas Kohanim, Yisa Hashem panav elecha, that you're going to favor us, the Jews. So in the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I told them v'achalto v'savato v'arachta, and they were machmir on themselves, afilu kizayis, eich lo esab panim, that God sees it as a great thing that we do, that we bench, even if we're not satiated. Okay, so this halacha took on greater importance in Machshava, in that it's seen as this great thing that we do, that even if we're not satiated. Again, to make the point I tried to make before,
no, that might be a
satiation, again, it's not, because if Chazal have the power to require it. But the satiation really, really varies from person to person. And interesting, a person who diets, right? A person who diets, he's on a diet.
Oh, diet. No,
pretty much he's Potter. He's Potter from, you know, technical reason, but he's Potter. Okay. No. Every meal you stop eating before, right? So the halacha is that no, if you're a subsistence eater, right, you're eating it so that you'll have energy for the rest of your day, but not to fill you up, then for you you're chayav. Whereas for somebody else, you know, it's just weird thing. Somebody else sitting there going, God, if I could just have one more piece of chicken, right? It could happen. It's different. Okay, now, that's the first halacha. The first halacha is, the bracha of benching is min ha-Torah. Halacha bet. Umidivrei sofrim levarech al kol ma'achal tchila va'achar kach yehaneh mimenu. The very next halacha, and it's clearly connected, the Rambam says, that's all we have min ha-Torah. Every other thing is drabana. But obviously we learned from here, Chachamim came along and said that we're supposed to make a bracha before we eat, before we get any hana'ah. V'chein, im hei'reach re'ach tov mevarech, v'achakach yehana mimenu. Same thing for pleasurable smells. V'chol hane'eneh below bracha ma'al. This is both an interesting halacha and interesting philosophically. If you understand, that's the puzzle I couldn't think of again. Hashamayim shamayim l'Hashem ve'aretz natan livnei Adam. And the drasha is ve'aretz natan livnei Adam. Wait, there's one other pasuk. There's one other pasuk. Okay, sorry, it's not coming to me now. The answer is kan kodem bracha, kan la'acha bracha. Meaning, God owns the world. Huh? God owns the world. In order for us to get pleasure from the world, we have to ask permission. We have to thank him first. Okay?
Is it midaraisa?
All this is drabbanan.
That you must make do the benching at the table. I mean, if I stop at a hot dog stand or I eat an hors d'oeuvre at a reception,
yeah.
I have to sit down at a table. Okay. If it contains bread or.
You're saying, can you bench standing
can
up?
Can I bench standing up? Can I bench...
Look, benching walking around strikes me as being disrespectful. Yeah. Nothing to do with whether you can or can't. There is an idea, there is a requirement, it's drabanan, of benching b'makom su'uda.
Yeah, if you take
but
the
you
food go,
I
the table.
Think you yotze other, in other places. But again, the idea is to bench b'makom su'uda, and you understand why. Right? You understand why, again, as a halachic matter, you understand why. Because if you didn't have to, you're going to forget all the time. I'm going to bench later. I'll bench I'll bench at home.
I could bench walking around in a reception after I've eaten an hors d'oeuvre. I could do it.
I suppose. I don't know.
Without a table.
Okay. Huh? Wait. Let's go. V'chein, because we're going to run out of time. V'chein midivrei sofrim levarech achar kol ma sheyochal v'chol ma sheyishteh. Same thing with Rabbanan is bracha achrona, bar nefashos. Ala mechi is more complicated. And he says, v'hu sheyishteh revi'it, v'hu sheyochal kizayit. Now this is interesting. For a bracha rishona, there is no shir. One sip of water, one bite of an apple, right? One bite of a cookie, any smell, there is no minimum amount. Any pleasure that I'm going to get requires me to make a bracha first.
Mm-hmm.
Bracha achrona is not like that. Every single bracha achrona has its own shir. So to make a bar nefashos on a solid requires a kizayis. To make a bar nefashos on liquids requires a revius, etc., etc. But it's interesting that bracha rishonas are because I'm not allowed to get any hana. And let's face it, a sip of water provides me with hana. But to make the bracha achrona, that requires...
That goes back to your drasha. It's not yours.
Right, right. That's exactly the idea. Now, we're not going to have time for any of the stuff I put here, but I want to do one thing. I'll say some of it outside. I mentioned at the beginning that because benching is the only bracha min haTorah, so it serves as sort of the philosophic headquarters for people to talk about brachos. And the Sefer HaChinuch has a very, very long pages and pages of discussion or explanation about brachos. And the one thing I want to talk about right now, and we'll finish with this, is what does a bracha mean? What does it mean to say Baruch Atah Hashem? So let's read a tiny bit inside. Look at number 5. The Sefer HaChinuch says, Mishashem Mitzvah Hakdama, a little intro. Halo higadati lecha b'ni b'mesha kadam, ki l'ashem baruchu kol ha-kavod v'ha-hod v'chol ha-tov v'chol ha-chachma v'chol ha-yecholet v'chol ha-bracha. God is omni everything. Meaning God has everything. God is complete in all ways. Why does this matter? V'divrei ben Adam v'chol ma'aseyu im tov v'im ra lo yosif v'lo yigra. What he's basically hinting at is the following. It doesn't mean anything for man to give God a blessing. For me to give you a blessing, whether you think I count or not, in theory it couldn't hurt. Right, I bless you to make a lot of money. Okay, yeah, I don't know. But if you assume that God already has everything that he could ever possibly need, that by definition, God is without any deficiency. So what does it mean for us to bless God? That's what bothered the Sefer HaChinuch. It bothered many, many other people. Just philosophically, it seems to almost be insulting. Right? You know, lahavdil, you meet Warren Buffett, you go to him, I hope you make a lot of money. You wouldn't say, it just doesn't make the guy has, next to God, he has the most money in the world. Huh? Of course it does. Let's see. So the Chinuch says, Al Kain, third line, Tzarich atah lahavchin, we have to distinguish. Ki ba'omreinu tamid bibrachot, Baruch atah Hashem. Oh, we say Yit Barach, he should be blessed. Ein hamashmaut lefi hadomeh lahosif bracha b'mi she'eino tzarich l'shum tosefet chalila. It does not mean bless you, God. May you be blessed. I'm blessing God right now. Ki hu ha'adon ala kol v'ala brachot hu who mechadesh otanu mamtzian ma'ain. God is the source of all blessings. It doesn't make sense to give God a blessing when God is the source of all blessings. And also, God never runs out of blessings, right? He makes them yesh me'ayin, ex nihilo. He doesn't need anything, you know. His blessings are infinite. So it can't be. So I skipped a bunch. Second paragraph. Achara haskama zo she'adanu b'chiyuv me'rov shleimut tuvo she'chevtso laharik alin mi'birchato. Says the Chinuch, God's ultimate desire is to do good for His creation, is to be good to us. No marshi inyan habracha shanu amrim lefanav einenu rak hazkara laorer nafshenu bidivrei pinu. What we say when we make a bracha, it's for our benefit. It's to inspire us, not God. Ki hu hamevurach umevorech yichlol kol atovot. Because God is the source of all bracha. Umitoch hahit orerut hatov hazeh binafshenu v'yichud machshavtenu lahodot elav shekol hatovot klulot bo v'hu hamelech aleihem l'shalchom al asher yachpot. Says the Chinuch, when you sit down before you eat and you think to yourself, all good things that I have in this world come from God. God is the source of all goodness. And that's what the bracha means. He says, "Mitoch." I'm in the third line. "Mitoch hitorut hatov hazeh benafshenu v'yichud machshavtenu lehodot elav shekol hatovot klulot bo v'hu hamelech aleihem l'shalchom al kol asher yachpotz anu zochim b'maasei hatov hazeh lehamshich aleinu mibirchotav." We make brachot for our benefit. When we make brachot and we acknowledge what he's really saying, as I think the following: when we make brachot and we acknowledge that the benefits we have in this world come from God, we make ourselves more receptive to God's goodness. We connect ourselves to God in a way that makes God's goodness more likely to attach to us. The example I like to use is, you know, sometimes it snows, but the ground's not cold enough, so the snow doesn't stick. Right? God sends out, God wants good things to happen to us. We need to be freezing, ki'ilu, for God's goodness to stick to us. And brachot is one of the ways, one of the significant ways that we can remind ourselves of God's role in our lives. And when we remind ourselves of God's role in our lives, God's goodness attaches to us. He says, va'achar hazkara v'hoda'a zo lifanav anu mevakshim mimenu. He says, now, generally speaking, that's why first we acknowledge God as being the source of all brachot. Then we can ask for things. Right here he's not talking about Shakol Niyabidvar, he's talking about Rafa'inu. First you have to say that God is the source of all goodness. Then we can be zocha to his bracha. He says, I'm just finished with this. V'nimtza lefi anachat tamzeh, shehiyehye baruch toar. You know what toar is? It's an adjective. When we say baruch ata Hashem, we're not blessing God. We are saying God is the source of all brachot. Baruch is an adjective of God. God is a blessing himself. God is the source of all blessings. And the Chinuch says, a very beautiful idea. We're not so much thanking or praying. Well, it's more like praise. The phrase Baruch Ata Hashem, and it's really useful, says, is an acknowledgement, the way I understand it, is it means God is the source of all blessings. It doesn't mean let us praise God. Let us bless God, because God can be praised. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But God can't be blessed. What it means is we're acknowledging that God is the source of all brachot. And really, it becomes a significant thing. Brachot, during the course of the day, it gives us an opportunity to acknowledge God, even forgetting benching for a second. If every time, first of all, people just made brachot out loud, right? If every time you made a bracha, you actually thought, and here, forget the argument about 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 5 seconds, what Shakol Nieh Bidvaro means, you know, what Borei Mineh Mizonot means, just 2 seconds of thinking about that, honestly, I think it changes our day. Because we do it all the time, and to just do it with slightly more kavana and acknowledging that doing it connects us to God, I think would change it. I'm considering doing another week on benching, maybe, because there's tons more stuff to talk about I don't know about. But again, more or less what we talked about is benching is the only mitzvah d'oraisa, so as acknowledged by all, maybe Birchas HaTorah also. But benching is the model for everything else that we do vis-a-vis brachot. Whether, again, three, I never got around to the point, I apologize, to whether you can shorten the brachos. I'll certainly say my opinion is it's not a good idea, but I'll acknowledge we have a shortened version of Shmona Esrei. There's a thing called Havinenu. You know, if you're stuck someplace and you can't say Shmona Esrei, you're worried, whatever, there is a shortened version. So do I think that if you had the choice, you know, you have 10 seconds to thank God, otherwise, I don't know, you're going to miss the plane or the guy's going to shoot you. Yeah, say something in English or say some shortened version. It's true. But I think we want to be the kind of people, we want to lead the kind of lives. I don't think we're so busy that we can't spend another 2 minutes to bench and say benching in its fullness. Okay, we'll figure out what we do next week. Yeshka.
Did you know I started Philadelphia for the father to bench and everyone to say amen?
Okay, that might be what a real Zimun is. That we didn't talk about today. That doesn't make benching less important, it makes it more important.
Yeah. Thank you, Ali. Thank you.